This is a HeadGum Podcast.
How about this?
I can't believe this.
It should be a little quieter.
What about this?
You're playing too much.
Does it sound good?
Please! Oh my god!
It's time for Punch the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
So, like, I used to do this thing in chemistry class where I would get everyone to inch their desks forward a little bit every day whenever when our teacher, Doc Murphy, would be facing the board. So by the end of the class, we were just completely on top of her. And she'd be like, what in the fuck is going on right here? Now, what if we every single day added an inch or, like, added a second onto that theme song? And so it's 20 minutes soon. And then that's therefore, we have to do less. And it's like kind of like widening the margins on a school paper.
That's a really good idea. And I think that if you could keep talking, that would really extend the intro. Maybe you could just do another hot 20, a tight 30, and then we'd have even less to have to do.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Front load.
Yeah. How much more can you go?
I could do another 30 seconds, but I don't want to. Okay. I'm here with my guest.
Hello.
Hi.
My name's Miel Bredo. And this is Punch of the Jam. What it is? Well, we're still figuring that out. Well, imagine if I did this like reading Rainbow. What are we doing here? Well, that's what we're here to figure out. Hey, folks.
That's why we need you to tell us what we're doing. And my name is Chris the Creature Fleming.
No. You get a real intro. I have to say my tagline first, which is,
sorry,
supposedly we're making the greatest hits even greater. I don't think we've ever done it. I don't think we ever will. I would really love to. It is my biggest dream. I really thought this was going to be my year, and it never was. And it's certainly not going to be today. You saw what song we're doing. Now, are you ready for your intro?
Yes. And I think this will be your year, but yeah, go on.
Yeah?
Oh, what was that? Was that Tetris theme?
Shh, don't worry about that.
Are you pirating Tetris again?
You know him from depeglio.corn and nothing else. It's Crust Farming.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hi, Piss. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I'm
sorry,
doing
am
right.
I saying that right? It's Piss Fleming?
It's Piss Pissing.
Well, thanks for coming back, Piss Pissing. We missed you here on Punch of the Jorn.
Thank you so much for having me. Again, my name is Piss Farthing, and I'm happy to be back.
This is the anthem, Throw Your Damn Hands Up. Is that what you were going to say?
I'm really excited because I know what Good Charlotte means to you, at least your adolescent self. So this is exciting.
For any longtime listeners of the show, this is a long time coming. And for any new time listeners of the show, you probably shouldn't start with this one because boy, don't like girls, girls like boys
cars
and monkeys.
And coffee.
Cars and coffee. This is, of course, Good Charlotte. Yes, I was obsessed with them. Yes, the year was 2003.
Dads don't like moms. Dads like cars and house it garages.
They like, what's the line from your video? Giving tours of their home.
Yeah.
I learned something today in my notes for this song. And these are, trust me, the only notes I'm going to give. It is one note.
Okay.
And it is. Everything else is coming from the heart, not from the head. That's what this whole episode's going to be.
I love that.
With the exception of Rob Moose's segment, which will be from the head and the head alone, because you better believe Rob Moose was not excited when I told him we were doing Good Charlotte. The note is,
Rob Moose is 99% brain.
Rob Moose, every day he does this, becomes more Roose and less Rob.
His full body is just all brain. You say he becomes full Roose?
I was trying to say he becomes more Moose and less Rob, and I briefly panicked.
Oh, he's metamorphosizing into Mr. Moose? Yeah, I saw him running across the street in Maine recently with a cello on his back. Okay.
The thing I found out about the song is that it was co-written by John Feldman, and if that name rings a bell for you, or should I say a gold bell? Or maybe you're ringing that gold bell with your finger. Or maybe you're ringing that bell with your gold finger. Hey, he's the lead singer of Goldfinger.
Oh my God, the lead singer of the hit James Bond film Goldfinger. Oh, that's incredible.
No,
I
the
love
hit
that.
Tony Hawk soundtrack, bop, Superman. Hello?
Yes, of course. I was more of a Yoshi's Island, which was a David Tickle production, I believe.
My favorite part about Yoshi's Story was the sound they made when they ate fruit, which, as I recall, is nyum.
Yeah, they had IBS, but they were, and the being fruitarian did not, like, that's why they were in such agony.
I think the IBS is what caused them to be able to, like, truly just fly back onto the platform if you believed in yourself enough, and they'd be like, and they'd just be running in air.
The way they were pushing to do that, it was so painful, and they were, it was such a sad way of flight. You almost, I would almost rather not be able to fly than do that.
That's,
you
know, the type of pushing that only someone with IBS can understand. Folks, gastroenterologists, that's not what they're called. Gastroenterologists are really hard to come by. Okay, we need to talk about the song.
I would just like to say that, you did show me a picture of your room as a child, or as a teen, and just based on the way that you had it decorated, if anything had happened to any of the members of Good Charlotte and the police were to happen upon your room, they would say, "We have our guy." Well, they wouldn't even say that. They would look at each other.
I actually think they would have thought that it was a setup because of how incredibly on the nose it was.
It would be overwritten.
Yeah. They would have been like, this clearly isn't true. Someone set this up to frame our girl.
It's like the guy in the beginning, the first scene of Law & Order SVU, who's literally covered in blood at the crime scene. Yeah.
My walls got too covered with magazine clippings and posters and any article I've ever found. I was very strict about my rules for what I put on the walls. I never printed anything out. It all had to be found in the wild. But I did go onto eBay and order bulk Good Charlotte magazines from like Japan and Australia and everything, just so I had enough content to populate the walls and then the ceiling. And I did at one point also steal some local politician's yard sign because it just simply had the name Joel on it. And of course, Joel is the lead singer.
There's a pop punk Sistine Chapel. Yeah, yeah. If someone was running for office and you stole the sign that said Joel and you put it up, were your parents like, was it kind of a what's she building in there type? Were you welding and stuff with all these things?
I think if they played Tom Waits for me as a baby and toddler, they kind of had it coming. Like, there was no world in which I wasn't going to end up concerning by a professional at all times.
Well, I think playing, that's a little, I would say, if anything, Good Charlotte is more mainstream. If you play Tom Waits for your child and you're trying to have them be sexually attracted to trains.
Listen, okay, I need to
I'm so sorry.
Why are you sorry?
Something about your tone was very if you saw how I just became very submissive, you sounded like Mrs. Dusenberry, my gym teacher, when I was young. And so you just awoke that way. The way that you did that, I became very scared and I became very sorry. You're saying that you were going to be attracted to trains.
No, it's not. I was not getting defensive. No, you misinterpret my scold.
You misinterpret my scold.
It was exclusively that I wanted to tell you that I liked Good Charlotte before they were big. I was disappointed when The Young and the Hopeless came out because they sold out, in my opinion.
Of course, I know that, right, that you would be infuriated by Good Charlotte, quote unquote, selling out.
But it's so funny because I do remember still liking this song when this came out, and this, now looking back at it today, is like the most generic, just like, hey teens, anything you're upset about, join us. Like, it's like a recruiting anthem. I think that's what the anthem is.
It's an angsty, they're trying to recruit just for general angst.
Yeah, I mean, and I so fell for it. I saw them in show 3 times. And when I say in show, it's because, yes, I think of all concerts as variations of Westminster.
I saw them in show. Who took the ribbon?
Thank Joel you for got the seeing ribbon. Me. I got to see the used. Wait, that's not true. I got to see MXPX.
Are you lying again? You saw P90X.
MXPX, Newfound Glory, Sum 41, Eve 6, and Goldfinger themselves.
Wait, Eve 6? Eve 6 is in My Heart in a Blender?
I would swallow my pride. I would choke on the ride. That?
That's really good. How long was that concert?
Oh, God. Well, the thing is, all of those acts, except for Newfound Glory, which is the first show I saw of theirs, and Newfound Glory at that time was bigger than them, and that probably was the last time that Good Charlotte ever wasn't the headliner, at least for this run. Who knows where they're at now? But in any case, I remember Newfound Glory being furious to see that the audience was clearly a bunch of tweens and early teenage girls.
Right, right. They wanted they wanted men with goatees.
No, I think Newfound Glory was just like 18-year-old girls instead of like 13-year-old girls.
Huge difference. Huge
like
difference.
Warped Tour crowds, like the median age couldn't have been much more than like 20, right?
I was so far from Warped Tour, I could not tell you.
You were like, let me know what it's called, straight 90 degree tour. None of this funny business.
Kind of. At that point in my life, I was kind of, Ricky Martin was middle school, and Ricky Martin and Christina Aguilera.
Ricky Martin is really generous to have built a middle school. Keep going. I went to Ricky Martin Middle School. Actually, I transferred.
Did I say I went to Ricky Martin Middle School?
You love Christina Aguilera. You loved Britney, I'm going to guess.
No. I know. Okay. See, this
Christina
is
scared you. When she did Dirty, you were like, I can't handle this.
Oh, my God. When she was at the bottom of a well with thousands of men. No, of course I didn't like that.
Anytime she did like a growly pickup, she was like, you were like, I got to go. I have to go into the woods and never return.
That, I mean, that music video was a how to get meningitis, that, if you remember. It was like lion tamers.
I have to tell you more about Good Charlotte before I forget, yes. Because I've been dying to just fully air out. Yes, I was on the message boards. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was on the forums. Mm-hmm. My username, I probably shouldn't say because I have no idea if this stuff is still up. But let me tell you that it was across every platform and it was obsessed with both Good Charlotte, my entire life, and Joel Madden. Of course, the lead singer, twin brother of Benji Madden, who I will have you know's birthdays, as they are twins, are exactly 10 years and 4 months older than me, which I took as a sign.
Yeah, that is absolutely a sign. And it's a sign that you should never be romantically involved with them. Is that what that means? Is that
hey,
what the sign
listen,
that you took?
Hillary Duff was, and that was the reason why I abruptly stopped liking them, because I was like, riot girl my ass, you liar. And also, isn't she under 18? What's happening here?
Was she really at that time?
Don't check me, but also maybe we should be looking into that, because that's just as my recollection serves. I also, yes, was on LiveJournal making GIFs before they were called GIFs in MS Paint and then giving them to all my friends as my LiveJournal was Good Charlotte themed.
So wouldn't that have to, so you would have to like print them out and like animate, it was like how they made Snow White.
Yes, it was. I was having to do cells and vectors and report to Walt Disney for some reason. They had a clothing company called Made, and their logo was brass knuckles, and I owned every single thing they made, including the very, very uncomfortable thong.
Brass knuckle thongs? Yeah. I mean, that was
imagine
it. That was
a 13-year-old with a thong, first of all, with brass knuckle insignia.
I'm actually not going to imagine that, but yeah.
You shouldn't imagine that. I'm sorry. That was illegal.
When I hear brass knuckles, though, I do think of middle school. That was all the badasses. Riley Blue in my middle school. He was always talking about bringing his brass knuckles if he needed to. I never saw the brass knuckles, but people were always saying, look, if it comes to this, we're going to bring our brass knuckles here.
It's a showman's weapon. You know, like it's like nunchucks. Absolutely. Like you want to be seen.
Putting it on.
Yeah. Like if you actually are going to kill someone, just like have a quiet knife in your pocket.
I guess I want to hear more. So you would, if I recall, you would go, your parents would take you to these concerts. Am I right?
Yeah. So when you grow up on like remote island, 90 miles from the nearest city, that's an hour and a half ferry ride. That's an hour, at least an hour in line waiting for the ferry before it even comes. And then an additional
6-minute zip line that you would have to do, treacherous zip line.
And
right?
Then after the zip line, an hour and a half drive, and then having to stay overnight in a hotel. And I think the real coup de grace here, take
the
your kid
ride.
To a Good Charlotte show.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good parent.
And I think part of my punishment for making them do that was that I had to bring my little brother.
You know, I was the youth. I was always the young one.
You were the 11-year-old.
And I felt my sister going away from me at that age. And I didn't. And I never felt that. I never felt the resistance on the other. But I hear what you're saying. I was the brother. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know what it's like to have your sister give you a toothpaste mohawk because she doesn't have hair gel and smear Benji eyeliner tears down your cheeks. You remember what that's like.
If we could just pump those brakes there for one moment. So you're saying that you put toothpaste in my guy's mohawk instead of like a hair gel type thing. You gave him the Crest faux hawk is what you're telling me.
That's exactly correct. And I also was in the pit, and by pit I mean like group of 13-year-old girls doing nothing but just jumping up and down for about 3 hours, although it was probably 30 minutes.
So it's like what you do if you were to catch a bunch of fleas and put them in a Poland Springs bottle.
It's exactly what the Good Charlotte shows were like.
what was your vertical leap? So it's like a bunch of Delia's fleas. Okay.
I would say Alloy magazine, but yes, exactly correct. And then you make friends with the girls in the pit, and they have a disposable camera, and they take a picture of you, and they get your address, and they mail it to you later, and it goes on the wall alongside the stolen politician's yard sign.
That is so cute, except for the stolen politician's yard sign, which does make you sound like a stone cold killer to be.
See,
like
I know that you think this sounds crazy, but this is a whole generation of us, and there are thousands, if not millions, of people in their cars right now, on their radios, on their talkbacks, on their Walkmans, screaming at you because you don't remember this. And I have proof. I have a patron comment from Julie Robidoux.
You never
sounded
more like a morning radio host than you did right now, talking about your listeners in their cars.
I need to have a soundboard to sound like that. How about this?
Can't watch this.
Yay! Hey, folks, welcome to Tuesday afternoon.
Ouch, ouch.
So Julie Robidoux says, I was in elementary school when this song was a hit, and my best friend really got into them. Her parents divorced in seventh grade, and she used liquid mascara to make those Benji tears to express herself or whatever. Me, a wholesome good girl, thought it was fun and asked her to do it to me. Our math teacher saw us both and promptly asked me to wash my face, but let my friend keep hers because she was, quote, going through stuff.
Hey, you look like an asshole, but
you're a good
Julie
girl. Take that shit off.
But this, your friend here, she's going through some shit.
Denise is fucked up, and I'm gonna let her have this.
Let her pet the crow that she brought in.
Speaking of petting the crow, are you ready to get into the song?
Mike Shinoda is in the house. Mike Shinoda is coming in the driveway here.
It's a new day.
It's a new day. I hear what you're saying.
That's a great cutoff.
There was a real fork in the road where bands were like, are we pop punk? Or are we hip hop, actually?
Right, right, right.
Obviously, the Linkin Park Jay-Z album comes to mind.
But it kind of sounds like they're making it on a Xerox machine, that sound.
It's they like use the telephone effect where you like only have the mid-range or whatever. And they're like, This makes us sound like we're in the studio and we don't know we're being recorded when we do this part.
But, it's like when Ben Folds, at the end of every one of his songs, he's like 40 yards away and he's like,
how'd that sound?
I think we got it.
Does that sound good? Yeah. Good with me. Can I go to bed? Yeah, I'm in a rocking chair.
You know, Mike Shinoda just talks that way, though. I've listened to interviews. He has that telephone effect in his voice.
I know. I listened to Fort Minor, and I do remember the name. But he starts it by being like, here we go. It kind of like, I know Wario. That I'm going to be the worst objective listener this episode because I cannot separate this from my nostalgia. I think objectively, I probably hate this, but unfortunately, I will love it. And if that's a problem, I understand.
I want to hear that. And see, this is about the heart. We're already all mustard. We're up top. We need to get into our bodies right now. And I want to hear what you really feel. Sorry, I sound like I was crying, but
it's okay if you are. I understand. This brings up a lot for a lot of people. And I do feel that it's good. Like, I want to crowd surf again.
To me, that's the perfect amount of time for a hard guitar break before I get scared. And then the Pure Meteor comes over with the, that's a new day. That's a friend of mine who I'm like, okay. I'm not going to wet myself.
So you like the heavy distortion, but you like the sweet vocal.
Oh, there's a perfect amount of heavy distortion. I do not like the heavy distortion, but if they played it for another millisecond. See, that's they timed it out for C-sections like myself that they have just the perfect amount of time where us mama's boys can be like, oh, I think I need to get out of here and tell an adult. And then it's like, yabba-dabba.
So you like oh, okay. It. This is soft enough. You can handle it.
Like I told you, boys don't like girls. Boys like money and coffee was the song that I listened to a lot.
But it all feels old. It's a good life. That's what I'm told. But everything at all just feels the same.
Yeah, stop right there. Tell me what you think about that.
I think that there is something really masterful about how this is sounding just deep enough that you're kind of like, whoa, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, and calling high school a jail cell is super profound and something I've never heard done before. And a really interesting way to speak about it, especially for how old is he when he's singing?
24.
This? yeah, that's super fucked up. He's like, that's like, that's the guy in the high school parking lot giving out Mike's hards in the back of a Jeep.
You have to hand it to them how incredibly they just cracked this code of like, hey,
environmental science, it blows, guys, right? Don't you just want to break free? It's like a jail cell, a penitentiary, which is a really funny thing that they do throughout the song also.
Yeah, they use synonyms in the second verse as well. I think my guy got a thesaurus and was really excited about it.
It's like, here's what this is, and here, and if you don't know what it is, here's an even more complex version of the word. A jail cell, a penitentiary.
Or you know what they could have been? I'm just going to take a stab here and say that they were anticipating global response and wanting to make sure that you would understand what they were saying.
I want to go a mile, 3.3 kilometers.
It was 0 degrees or 32 Fahrenheit. That's what I said.
It was 12 p.m. or maybe 1 a.m. Great Mountain Time.
It was midnight or 2400 hours. It is like, it's like, I remember thinking that it's a new day, but it all feels old was truly profound when I was 14. I was like, yeah, they know what it's like. They're speaking to me and me alone. They're not 24.
I feel like Pepper Ann kind of had the same thesis statement, but like,
I'm so glad you bring up Pepper Ann because
did you just fly a little bit into the air?
This is just so exciting. First, I get to talk about Good Charlotte, and now I get to talk about something I've never got to talk about, but I am privately obsessed with, and that is the Pepper Ann theme song. Mm-hmm. Pepper Ann, much too cool for second grade. Pepper Ann, she's like one in a million. Okay, our lag was fucked up. I really hated what just happened.
Yeah, we should send it to Ari Aster, what we just did. Did you know that Pepper Ann was, on the count of three, Miss Frizzle's bastard daughter?
Oh. Okay. this part kind of goes, though. I do think the pre-chorus is the best part, although it is really mean. I don't ever want to be like you. I don't want to do the things you do. I'm never going to hear the words you say.
Well, he's talking to his teachers.
That's mean. Teachers don't get paid enough to deal with your bullshit.
Back then they did. They're definitely capitalizing on teens not like being upset with baby boomers and teachers and saying that they don't want to grow up to be.
Was Gen X upset with baby boomers? Their parents were the greatest generation, right? No. What's between the baby boomers and the greatest generation?
No one knows. I've been asking people this forever, and nobody knows the answer.
It's Gen X 2.
It's the guy who wrote Three Little Pigs, but other than that, it's like, there's like 6 months.
The God of Neutrality.
It's it's the freakiest generation, and they're completely mysterious.
The guy who gets you a toothbrush for Christmas?
I have a feeling that Gen Xers kind of, they were born by budding, like less by like
by spore, like mushrooms.
Yeah. There's just by like Edward Snowden glasses and The Adventures of Pete and Pete. I think that kind of created Gen X, I think. And wait, are you saying that Good Charlotte is Gen X?
What? Yeah, they're born in 79. They are Gen X.
79. Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, whoever they were mad at, they were really fucking mad at. And me as a millennial was like, yes, we have the same enemy. But then watching the music video today, I was like, I don't know, but y'all look pretty racist. Like the Venn diagram between this community and just straight up racist community seems like, you know, that American History X energy. It's a little, in hindsight, a little too close for comfort.
Poorly planned tattoos versus small arm tattoos that make you look like you went to Sundance. That's like rural tattoos. Like,
or you want people to think you went to Sundance.
Oh, right. Of course. Those are small arm tattoos like the people that we know. They think 360. But then the quasi-racist people just get kind of like Red Sox tattoos. They treat their bodies like they're two-dimensional and they have very poorly planned. I know what you're saying.
And they're obsessed with gothic fonts, playing card memorabilia and
Tropic Murphys. Yeah, right.
Koi fish.
What do you mean koi fish?
Imagery. Koi fish imagery. Big time into koi fish imagery. And also dragons, but not at all into fairy tales. Frown on mythical beasts, but love dragon imagery.
They have no time for fairy tales?
No. If you have a spider web tattoo on your elbow, you don't have the energy for a fucking dragon off of your body.
If you have the cast and crew of The Nightmare Before Christmas tattooed as a tramp stamp.
I do bet that Gen X loved that Sean Connery dragon movie.
Oh, Dragonheart.
Dragonheart. I bet they ate that was, shit up. Oh,
of course they did. That was they. Yeah, they laughed that. They laughed that up. I think I cried during that movie.
Wait, who's your
what?
Who were you? What? Who were you mad at? You were like, I thought we had the same enemy. But who was your... Are you okay?
I choked on my own spit at being laughed at. I need you to ask me that again. Sorry.
No, I'm not asking you again. We need some... This episode is about being real, okay?
You asking me who my enemy was really fucked up my life. Yes. I truly, truly deeply believed this song they wrote about my dad.
Oh, was, at the time.
Yeah. I was just, I mean, I don't know a 14-year-old girl.
I think they did.
That's into pop punk music and at some point isn't.
I read that they did.
Really mad at their dad for either no reason or reasons, but it's always mm-hmm. going to happen. You're going to go through I hate my dad phase and it's probably going to be eighth grade or ninth grade.
I think it's the other way around for a teen boy. I think it was
yeah,
more
it's
about,
always the like Oedipal thing.
No, no. I mean, my dad went through a I hate my son phase. And I think he would. I think the Beach Boys helped him get through it.
Pet Sounds was really there for him.
Yeah, you take it out in the garage.
I got a little, my little, I got a son
my
who wears an apron.
I hate how my boy's turning out.
My boy dropped the kayak again.
His voice dropped and it's shitty. I really am unhappy with how he sounds.
His friends can watch sports. He can't. All
I right. don't know how to describe it, but he has a face I want to punch. I'm going to play the next clip now.
All right. Good night. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I've been Chris Fleming. And I don't ever wanna be you. Don't wanna be just like you. All what I'm saying is this is the anthem. Throw all your hands up, you. Don't wanna be you. Oh, I need to hear that drum fill again. Don't wanna be you. That's a football field of songs. That's obviously someone.
Usain Bolt sprinting across them, maybe. is that real? Is that a real human playing that? That was so fast.
No, 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 no. That's play it again. Don't wanna be you. Is that 80 drums? Don't wanna be you. That gives me a really bad sense of space and time.
Oh,
they must have
man.
Just sped it up. It must have taken days to record that. And
I
then...
don't know. Frankly, drums are such a mystery to me. That is one instrument I truly cannot play at all, but it sounds truly octopusal.
Octopusal. That's what I was thinking when they said throw all your hands up. Obviously, they're talking to an octopi, but I feel like Rob Moose is probably going to talk about, and of course, we know that John Glenn flew with the longest Tom ever in history and went into orbit and then dropped it down. And then Semino,
Phil Collins,
the fastest men and women. Yeah,
yeah, Phil Collins yeah, they, heard this and was like, fuck they, me.
They injected 70 EpiPens into Phil Collins' cheeks. And he came out of nowhere with hammers.
This
sticks,
is how he fucked up
forks,
his back.
In his marriage. It took Phil 6 months to finish recording this. And he lost. That's why his head's so big from being half in, out of the atmosphere. And some of Phil's hair is still stuck. That's why one eye in Phil Collins is bigger than the other. Because while John Glenn was in orbit, Phil Collins was with several octopus going for many weeks.
It was like the interstellar universe where for us it was a few weeks, but for Phil Collins it was 30 years.
Yeah, and that's why he came back with no wife and he's crying, and that's why he did the Tarzan soundtrack. And that's why he did the Tarzan soundtrack.
I need to comment too on how the melody and the rhythm of the melody here between the first half, you don't wanna be just like you, and then the this is the anthem, throw all your hands up with the backbeat. It really I feel like is physically impossible not to, even if you hate it, nod your head in anger.
Yeah, no, you're right. And imagine having the courage to say as you record, because this. When you hear something, you're like, oh, this has been out. This is in existence. But imagine writing something and then in the middle of it saying this is the anthem outside of, you know, like
this?
Sarah writing the Minuet of the Forest or something. What?
Not even to say that was such a good Zelda ref. Thank you so much. And her name was Saria, just so we're clear. However, I think not just that this is the anthem, not that this is gonna be the anthem, which I think would have been more obvious, but just also the anthem. the anthem.
This is the only anthem. The only anthem.
This is the only song to ever have existed.
That's really good. That's like what Van Morrison said in the 70s when someone asked him if he'd liked anything since the 70s. And he said, no. There's any songs that have been made that he likes. And he said, no, there are not.
Actually, the anthem by Good Charlotte was truly the anthem for me, Van Morrison.
Yeah, but this was not your anthem, though. You loved. Oh, it was. You liked this song. You would jump around to this, right? This was your anthem.
I really liked this. I think it was called Seasons off the first album they did, the one with the clouds. I think that's still in like a CD case in my car.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got the Little Things on it. And the Little Things, by the way, if you want to just have a good laugh about this era of music, check that song out. The beginning. To every kid who ever got picked last in gym class. And then his twin brother goes, this is for you. To every kid who never had a date to no school dance. This is for you.
Well, that's a double negative, actually.
To everyone who's ever been called a freak. Yeah, here we go.
What if one didn't fit? What if one was like, and this is for you, all you budding pastry chefs who don't know quite what you got when you try to make that almond croissant.
Who haven't mastered tempering chocolate yet. Who haven't figured out a laminated dough. This is for you.
Hey, all you sick fucks who can only get it up to lion tamers. This is for you.
And it's here. It's here as well. They were, when they wrote Little Things, I think, what, like 22, 21? Long, long, long since out of high school. And even at that point, I believe out of college if they were to have gone. And now in 2003, they're 24.
And writing these are men that are clearly writing in Sharpie, right? I mean, we know this. These songs are written in Sharpie.
I think they want to be writing in Sharpie, but I think they're actually writing with like a free pen from their insurance dealership.
They're writing with an H&R Block. Okay, gotcha.
On a yellow legal notepad.
Yeah.
Like the least sexy of writing utensils on the least sexy of writing pads.
The thinnest lines.
Give me a 0.5 Muji on a moleskin or give me nothing.
Give me the kind of wet pen that's like a teddy bear jumping Choya cactus that it gets the paper. It starts writing before you're even beginning to make contact. Somehow it touches down and leaves a little wet spot. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I know that there's never going to be a better segue and reason and cause for us to take a break since we have both clearly lost our minds at this point.
Wow. I'm doing fine. So like, actually, I'm not. I don't identify as having lost my mind.
What? We're back, I guess. Why? What do you want?
Who's there?
Who's there? It's like you're gently afraid that you have a home intruder, but you don't want to seem like you care. Who's there?
You called it a shadow? There he is again.
That's what they said to me.
Get a car, an automobile. He's I got a dog, a canine. I have a friend, a companion.
I think he should do the accent. I think he should do the accent shift just to make clear who he's talking to here. Go to college. Oh, university.
A uni. I spend $5. That's 30 loonies and a toonie. I'm going to start doing. Imagine having a conversation with that guy. It would take twice as long as any normal conversation.
I also like that both verses start with the one like line he thinks is clever. And then the second line in the verse, first verse and second verse, is him quoting someone else and then telling us that was a quote. So the first time he said, it's a good life. That's what I'm told. And the second time he says, get a real job. That's what they said to me.
I wonder what he was doing that someone told him to get a real job. He was probably selling hermit crabs at the foot of his driveway. You ever think of that? I remember when I was young, I was like, if I sell this candy that I got from this candy store at the foot of my driveway, with my charm, I'll be a freaking hundredaire.
My driveway is not a driveway. It's a dirt road up a 2-mile long mountain. So what I used to do was make my parents drive me to the bottom of the hill to sell cookies on the side of the only highway on the island.
That's really dangerous.
Okay, I'm hitting the next clip.
He was probably pool hopping. That's probably what he thought was a job. Get a real job. That is a real job. Pool hopping. But I could never live the way they want. I'm gonna get by and just do my time. I don't step while they all get in line. I'm just a minor threat, so pay no mind.
I used to love that harmony. I was like, yes, this is music.
Let me just stand with my arms open and on the speed bump.
I think to try to get some more street cred, he just, I think, casually name dropped Minor Threat, the punk band, under the guise of saying, I'm just a minor threat, so pay no mind. Like, he could force himself to be more in line with Minor Threat when he was far more in line with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I think more pink.
I don't think that's how that, like, you can keep putting brass knuckles on your merch, but you're dating a teenager and it is Hillary Duff. You are dating, you are Mr. Lizzie McGuire. Like, we know what's up.
Yeah. You're not, yeah. You're going to pink shows at best. Do you really want to be like them? Do you really want to be another
trend? Do you want to be part of that crowd? Because I don't ever want to. Oh, I don't know why I cut it there. I hate my past self for that. That's really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't feel great. You were lip syncing the words no as an answer to each one of those. So I did see like a little glimpse of baby Miel in there. And it was kind of nice.
No, I don't.
Yeah, it was nice. So you were very much in the live show. How is this making you feel? Are you feeling like you're back?
You know, I will say this is probably the hardest one to clip and not just want to listen to as one cohesive unit. Because I think music like this really doesn't hold up to analyzing. It really has to be just enjoyed or not enjoyed in its like 2 minute and 53 second runtime. Like you don't want to hear a part of this song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either you're in or you're all the way out.
Songs probably shouldn't be podcasted, right?
Oh, well, that's an interesting point. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't ever want to be you. Okay, now this is the best part of the song. Pay attention.
Okay. Okay. Now, is that, correct me if I'm wrong, is that a piss etiquette thing about not seeming like you are masturbating in a public restroom?
I don't know where you're getting the public restroom part, but certainly it is about piss etiquette in terms of getting all the pee-pee out of your weenie without jerking off, if you can do that.
Well, I think it's...
If it's physically possible.
I don't think who cares if you're behind, if you're in the safe comfort of your own home. I think it's about the visual. If you're like next to people, you don't want to be...
No, do you hear the implication of the word again?
You're saying...
You physically cannot pee without masturbating. That's going to be a problem for you.
I think, I don't think people have an issue. I think it's about how it looks, less
they
about
said
like,
again. Now they said I've again. Begun. You're playing with yourself again. You need to think of what that means.
Oh, so this
why
is
why they might have said that. What friend are they talking to? God damn it, Joe. You've been in there four times today, and we know you're jerking off when you say you're peeing.
I mean, that is kind of in line with the pandering to the
teen market.
The teen market having a masturbation addiction. So I guess, okay, I see what you're saying.
I do think that's what they're saying.
That's very funny. That's very funny that they included that in the middle of a song that about like nonconformity and stuff, that they give like a thing like, hey, just so you know, this is a good way to not seem like you're masturbating.
I think that is probably the theme of the anthem. I think that's why they were vague earlier. This is a piss anthem.
You get three little pigs. You get three you get three shakes. Otherwise, it's erotic.
No, actually, they're saying you only get two shakes, and on the third shake, it becomes erotic.
It's like a genie's wish. Yeah.
The third shake is where it all goes to hell. That's or heaven, depending on what your goal is.
Yeah, shaking yourself to ecstasy. Wow. I mean,
I really think they went to their record label and were like, we have the best idea for our next song. And it's just going to be an educational anthem about what to do if you're trying to piss with a dick and you don't want to masturbate. And the label was like, whoa, 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 whoa. The vast majority of your fans don't have dicks. So I don't know what to do with that.
You can squeeze it in
behind a telephone filter in the bridge and keep it vague enough that we don't have to bleep anything.
Here's Mike Shinoda's voice hider. Yeah.
And then it'll seem marginally less creepy that you're singing to 13-year-old girls about dick etiquette.
The original song was called One to Walk Away. And then they were like, no. No, I think, like, yeah, if you need to include it, like, if you need to be didact about pissing, like, okay, fine. Just you can include it in the middle when everyone's not paying attention and put reverb on it.
I just have so much information I want to share with the world.
If I was just listening to this on the radio and not doing this, I would have heard that verb and been like, oh, they're saying something profound.
I mean, maybe they are. Maybe we just have our minds in the gutter. Maybe they're talking about literally anything that there's nothing else. It's just this.
Yeah, I think certainly, which is very funny. I mean, maybe they're funny people. I guess if you marry Cameron Diaz, I guess I'm thinking of Cameron Diaz in The Mask when I think of Cameron Diaz. Also, she has a whole lifestyle thing about drinking enough water and about pissing. So that's probably
piss.com.
Piss.com, right.
Piss.com is Cameron Diaz's lifestyle website.
Piss.
Do you want to hear the rest of the song?
Yes. I'm chewing through wires right now in my house.
Like a rat?
Yeah, this is making me want to just chew it out the insulation.
Get him out of there. Oh, here he is. This is the anthem. Throw all your hands up. Y'all got to feel me. Sing if you're with me. Yeah. Don't want to be just like you. Just like you. This is the anthem. Throw all your hands up. Y'all got to feel me. Sing if you're with me. Another loser anthem. Another loser anthem. Wait.
Wait, this has been a loser anthem the whole goddamn time?
Not just a loser anthem, another loser anthem. As Good Charlotte does have three songs with anthem in the title.
I fell for it again.
You and me both, brother. You know how much money I donated to Good Charlotte, which now I look back and see is just
donated.
Clearly corporate pandering? I feel like they really teased us by giving us that dope section at the very end. I wanted that call and response the whole time. Whoa, and adding that extra line. Y'all got to feel me, sing with you with me.
It's almost like reggae.
Ding, 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 ding. The rhythm, yeah, I totally hear what you're saying.
Also, throwing the loser anthem in the end, I'm very upset by that. It's like what they do at Young Life, the Christian camp. It's like you're having a great time on jet skis all day and playing freestyle. And at the end of the day, they're like, oh, and by the way,
you're going to hell if you don't join us.
They just trick you into not hooking up. Yeah, man, so like this was a loser anthem the whole time. We've been having such a nice time here.
So, before I get to the punch-up, I think I have to check in to see what poor Robert Moose could glean from this tune. I don't think I've ever felt guiltier for telling him the song pick. Sorry, Rob Moose. Let's hear what he had to say.
I'm not sure I knew what I was getting myself into with this one. As I listen to this song, I'm struck by how much faith there is in just the inherent sort of acceptability of this type of music. It's very unapologetic. It sounds like Green Day, but without memorable vocal melodies. It's like Sugar Ray with a less distinct singer. I don't know. All my 90s references are bleeding together. But what I was trying to say is that the presentation really just kind of is what it is. Fuzzy guitars with occasional moments of dynamics and like the obligatory eighth note buildup into a new section. I guess the intro is a little experimental. Somehow the guitar sounds more like Tom Morello, whose masterclass I really recommend, by the way. Not only does he seem to be a super cool and creative guy, but if you close your eyes, it almost sounds like you're listening to Barack Obama. Okay, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, the intro. It's got that toggle switch kind of hammer-on sound, but then it's cheesily panning across the stereo spectrum. They lost me there a little bit. One place where they did sort of get me was bar 4 of the chorus. I wanna see it as That unexpected A chord, Lord have mercy. Feels like one of those things where someone accidentally slid up to the wrong fret one time and liked the mistake. Still, it's a moment of distinction, and I'll give it a cautious thumb up. If this were a different song or band, I might start listening for that chord to come back and maybe the bridge as part of a modulation. But that doesn't even occur to me here. You see, when I listen to music like this, I'm more of a lizard during an LA winter. I'm on energy saver mode. Blinders on. Let's get through this. I'll notice stuff like the sudden lead guitar moment at the top of verse 2, but I won't really lose sleep over why they may have placed that there, with no antecedent and no seeming tie-in to the lyrics. Again, these people are not worried about any of this making sense. They're convinced of their inherent value, and that's not nothing. Okay, so they do sort of use the A chord in a functional way heading into the bridge, but it's used incorrectly. They were probably going for an F over A type of move, but that don't lay out so nicely in one of them power chords, so it is what it is. Is anyone else reminded of Everlong in the bridge? I think it's something about that treated vocal and the martial drum beat. I don't know. I'm just grasping at anything here. There's an almost guitar solo after the bridge, and then they bring back the song's opening. Why? Well, because they know they have to hit the chorus again, and they're trying to throw us off the scent. But we know it's coming. We knew it the moment we pressed play. It's too late for subterfuge, and it's way too late for regrets.
I regret that he didn't just play the whole One Republic song. Yes. I regret that he didn't talk more about that Tamarello masterclass and how his guitar sounds like Barack Obama.
If you close your eyes, you can see Barack Obama in your cello pit.
That might be one of my favorite Rob segments, the L.A. lizard in the winter on low energy saver mode.
Yeah, that was beautiful imagery. Yeah, I love those. I love a winter lizard.
An L.A. winter lizard. Oh, we're giving away so many good drag names.
Or experimental ice creams. Do you want some winter lizard in a cup or cone? And do you want some butterscotch chunks on top or some junk funk?
I need to take a sidebar. I would be so remiss if I didn't mention that I'm finally allowed to talk about something that I've been very excited about for quite a long time. And that is that Rob Moose has made an EP with Phoebe Bridgers. I'm finally allowed to talk about it. It's called Copycat Killer. It's 4 songs from her last record, Punisher, arranged and produced by our own Robert Christopher Moose. It's just her voice and his strings. And you can go listen to one of the songs off it right now. Yeah, it's fucking incredible. I can't believe he agrees to do this show. I just love that man. So thank you, Rob Moose. Go listen to it. Copycat Killer.
Also, I think it's great that, you know, you shared something with the listeners and me that you were super into. And it's really cool that you were such a fan of something. And yeah, it's nice to love something as much as you loved that. And it's cool that you're revisiting that part of your life that many years later, even if it's through a lens of comedy.
Thank you so much. And I really think that that's the perfect way to get to the punch up, which I unfortunately already did. And I'm going to make you listen to now because I think I need to be a witness for what I have done. My thesis being, I just want to lean in further to what I think is the real point of the song, which is teaching you how to piss without dripping on yourself or masturbating.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, that's what the theme is.
I don't feel like shake it once, that's fine. Shake it twice, that's okay, was enough information. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are suffering from excess piss syndrome.
And what direction do you face when pissing?
Or what's the technique, you know?
Do you take it out of the pants? Do you leave it? Yeah. Where are your hands? No, I think that's smart. I want it. Yeah, this is great.
Well, according to Good Charlotte, your hands are in the air. So I guess they've really mastered this technique. And of course, I'm talking about the technique I found on Men's Health Australia.
You going on Men's Health Australia again?
I had to because I needed to read something verbatim over the bridge. And so that's what this punch up is. And I'm going to make you listen to it now.
Okay, great.
We might learn something. The urethra is not contractile. It is just a tube. So once you're done squeezing, those last few drops are like a hose in the backyard. Once you turn off the spigot, there's always some fluid trapped in the hose that'll dump out after the fact. to empty this residual urine, the reported most effective method is called urethral milking. Take your index finger and place it in the area between your scrotum and your rectum. Apply gentle pressure and move your finger forward, up over the scrotum and to the base of your penis, effectively draining any liquid that remains.
Wow.
Do this 3 times and then milk your penis, gently squeezing from the base to the tip. Theoretically, the more space someone has in their penis, the more volume that can potentially get trapped. Usually it's only a few drops of urine, but when you take the time to allow those drops to come out, as opposed to running out of the bathroom, you can fix the problem, says Dr. Brucker. And that's how you leave the piss in the bathroom where it belongs. Unless you want to take some with you for the road, which you can also do. You're an adult. I hope this helps.
It does. I wish I was...
The piss come out.
Slow to write it down.
Good night and good piss.
Good night and good piss. That's great.
I think we all learned a lot.
That's going to be super helpful to people.
It turns out you're not supposed to shake it at all. You're supposed to milk it.
Yeah, and you do need 3. Yeah, that's, I mean, did we not, hopefully this isn't offensive, but like, are we really going to trust the Australians with something like that? Have you been,
Well, they're the ones, Dr. Brocker, who I have to assume is Australian, is the one who says it's the urethra is not contractile, it's just a tube. You've milked a goat, it's time to milk the pee. Out of your pee.
No one ever taught me that, honestly. No one did.
See?
They never said milk it out.
Thank you for piss education, good Charlotte. You really, I think this was the point of this. The full circle, I've meant to become a piss educator.
Wasn't good Charlotte's rule 3 is too much? And then Dr. Bronner said that you need 3?
A lot of misinformation spread by bad Charlotte.
They're at direct odds with good Charlotte's thesis statement.
Enemy of the good piss, bad Charlotte.
Bad Charlotte.
The good piss, by the way, is a Good Wife spinoff I've been pitching to CBS for 10 years.
Good piss?
Good piss. The good piss. I'm kind of sorry for that, but not that sorry. Let's get to Unpunchable Jams.
You can't punch this.
Crisp, crust, piss. What is your Unpunchable Jam?
Mine's a song called Harrison Ford, and it's by the lovely folk quartet Darlingside. And it's what I listen to whenever I need a little kind of jaunty pick-me-up.
Dreaming shoots a lot, I sleep through 2 alarms. And when I stumble through the doorway with my hands through the arms and the sweater that the dry cleaner gave me back to size down, making to the bus, not a second to spare. But there's freeze frame traffic till the intersection where I'm scheduled for a meeting with a man who looks like Harrison Ford.
I have a hard time imagining you needing a jaunty pick-me-up.
Yeah, you don't want to be around for that.
I think you would fly all the way into heaven.
You think I would die? Well, I wanted to choreograph something to this song and make it their music video back in like 2015, and they wouldn't. They said, no, thanks.
So then you had to listen to the song to pick yourself back up.
I see it so vividly in my head still. Do you ever picture music videos to songs?
I sure pictured the music video to the anthem and how I would have made it if me and Joel were married many times. So in that sense, I think I understand what you're saying. So this is the anthem of our wedding.
What's your punch-up? Oh, sorry, unquenchable germ.
It's New Love Cassette by Angel Olsen, but specifically the Mark Ronson remix.
Got to get Ronson in there.
I don't agree with that, actually. I think Ronson is sometimes not needed, but in this song, I love this creepy thing he did at the top. It's like creepy and sexy at the same time. It's exactly what you need when you can't figure out what you need to put on. You need to put on this song, turns out.
Funeral parlor hot.
Yeah, it's like, what do you do when a really cool goth girl dies? You play this at her funeral. You know what I mean?
You sneeze blood, yeah.
I want to have a goth funeral.
Of course you do, yeah.
Crust, thank you so much for coming on. the pod and talking about something you don't like for my benefit. I really appreciate that.
I never said I didn't like it. No,
yeah, you thanks did. For sharing. You said don't tell anyone, but Joel and Benji Madden are personal enemies of mine.
No, I said that Benji isn't as cool as the film series Benji that I used to watch as a child about a border terrier that would save family from benign.
We've gone over this. It's not a border terrier. It's a mixed breed.
Okay, but no, thank you for having me, thanks for sharing your. If I could tell anything to that young Miel that loves that is such a fan of something, I would say it's cool to be a fan of something and to not shy away from that, you know, embrace that.
You know, I don't know what young Miel would say to you if you said that to her.
That she doesn't want to, she wants to just not be, how do you say it? I want to be not just like you. What is it? I don't want to be like you.
Yeah. It's I want to be just not like you. Thanks, Crust. I appreciate it. If you want to check out more of me, please don't. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey.
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.